Monday morning, let's look at the agenda for this week. We're joined by Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning.
So what do you think this week is going to be all about?
I think this week is going to be, in terms of politics, about President Obama taking his Jobs Act push on the road. I think it's going to be about Democrats summiting in Las Vegas at the same time that Republicans are having the last debate of this month on Tuesday in Las Vegas.
On the road is sort of the theme. Charlie Herman, economics and business editor for The Takeaway and our co-producer WNYC Radio. What's this week all about?
Earnings. I think we're going to see a lot of what's happening on Wall Street, and that's clearly a focus, continues to be the focus of the Occupy Wall Street, just how much money are those banks earning.
And we had some bank earnings numbers last week as well. We'll get more this week. The president is on the road talking about jobs. How do you think those two go together?
Well, the question is he trying to, in a way, co-opt what's happening with Occupy Wall Street? I think Maggie would probably have an idea on this as well, but he's definitely trying to absorb some of the message and try and capitalize on the sort of newfound fervor that you're finding not just in the country but around the world. But he's also got this very fine line that he has to walk here in terms of he doesn't want to go too far to the extreme. He still needs Wall Street support and a lot of things, but there's finally some sort of populist movement, and he's trying to find a base that can actually help his reelection.
Maggie Haberman, does the president have a problem here in the sense that there's a certain freshness associated with the Occupy Wall Street movement, and people are getting a chance to yell and scream, but Barack Obama attempting to sort of toe a center line here plays into the weariness of people over politicians and Washington and the White House and even Democrats?
I think that's exactly right. And I think there's a lot of concern among Democrats and the president's advisors about going too far out there, seeming too open on this. They want to co-opt the, some of the energy, not necessarily the message. And also remember
that they love the energy.
They love the energy.
Keep the message.
That's
yeah.
right. There's not a huge amount of unity also around the protesters. And there is some concern about things like law breaking, et cetera. They don't want to get too attached.
Well, in Las Vegas, the Republican presidential debate will be tomorrow night, where we'll get one more chance to see
simplicity and public support, because they understand it. It's what's going to allow the public to help put pressure on Congress to get this passed. That's my plan.
Mr. Simplicity himself, Herman Cain, the de facto front runner in the GOP field. Does he get tested tomorrow night full bore, or is he going to coast along here for a while?
I think that you're actually going to see him be able to get by for a few more weeks. I do think he is going to get questions thrown at him that he has not seen before. He's going to see much more in terms of questions, and he is going to be in many ways a focus as much as Rick Perry or Mitt Romney. But I also think Herman Cain's moment in the spotlight is not done yet.
Although, you know, it was George H.W. Bush who was taken down by a plain-speaking Ross Perot, who really gave a sense that Bush was defeatable back in the early 90s. And it was the plain-speaking Ronald Reagan who took down Jimmy Carter, the lion of Georgian royalty. Herm Cain plays perfectly into the narrative of Romney's the educated rich guy, I'm the regular Joe.
Absolutely. As long as Herman Cain is not having to actually answer specifics about things like the 999 plan, where he got very hung up yesterday on Meet the Press. He was talking essentially in circles with David Gregory, admitted finally that it will raise some taxes. So I think as long as he is able to stick to the 30-second soundbite, he'll be in very good shape.
Quickly, Maggie Haberman, is he running for number two on the ticket, Herman Cain?
No, I think he's running for fun, and I think he's surprised at how well he has ended up doing.
Charlie Herman, economics and business editor for The Takeaway, and it's not a bad job running for president, right?
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of debates you have to attend.
Speaking of earnings, where does earnings become an issue for jobs in terms of what we're thinking about over the next week? We've seen a tiny little sort of bump up, bump down in the weekly unemployment number, the first time claims on Thursday.
I would say there's sort of two things here. I mean, there's the Wall Street earnings. We're going to get most of the major banks this week, Citi, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley. They'll
GE, the bank that makes jet engines.
We're going to be seeing a lot of these earnings. And what we've seen is that they're not making as much money as before. There was the report that came out last week from the comptroller for the state of New York that expects we'll see about maybe 10,000 jobs cut by the end of 2012. So this is an industry that's shrinking. It's trying to find profits in other places, hence the $5 fee from Bank of America for the debit card transactions. I mean, you're seeing them in a real change. So jobs, they're not necessarily a great sector right now in terms of overall number of jobs. The other question is going to be what happens with the GEs or the Intels or the Southwest Airlines, for example, that reports this week. If they have more profits, are they actually hiring more people? Because the trend we've been seeing is corporations have a lot of money, but they're holding off on actually hiring till they see some signs that the economy is doing better.
And a lot of companies already warned that they don't expect demand to improve in the manufacturing sector, which translates directly into jobs. There seems to be an appetite, Charlie, among the markets to basically read a lot of positive into what's going on in Europe right now. We've seen a huge uptick in Asia. Towards the end of the week, European investors basically said, all right, they're going to fix it. Are they just delusional?
Now they're saying that they're going to take all necessary actions to try and come up with a plan to solve it. I mean, there's a little bit, it feels like we've heard this before on a pretty regular basis. They're supposed to come up with a framework by this Sunday in terms of what to deal with Greek debt, how much losses private investors are going to take, how to protect the rest of the countries from not losing money or not being hurt by anything that happens in Greece. But we sort of hear this on a regular basis, so I kind of look at it, the markets are up today, and then there may be some news that comes up tomorrow, or they don't come up with a good plan, or the plan gets rejected by, you know, Slovakia, like happened in the initial vote.
Slovakia takes down the world. I love that scenario. It sounds like a comic book. Charlie Herman, economics and business editor for The Takeaway, and our co-producer, WNYC Radio. Maggie Haberman, let's end on this. It seems as though in the American electorate, there is a sense of emotion and passion in various sorts of pockets, whether you're talking about Ron Paul's supporters or sectors of the Tea Party who really haven't made a decision in terms of the GOP, or this little bit of bubbly kind of outrage associated with Herman Cain and even Occupy Wall Street. Who inherits this sense of enthusiasm and passion in the 2012 election, do you think?
That's a real open question right now. I think you have to assume that it's going to go toward Republicans. But again, this is the problem that Republicans are worried about with Mitt Romney as a nominee. Will he be able to capitalize on that energy, especially from the Tea Party, which he does not encapsulate?
Is there a running mate combo with Romney that gives you the passion plus the sort of experience?
There are certainly people he could put on the ticket, like a Marco Rubio, for instance, but I think it's tough unless you actually really come from that movement.
All right, there's your agenda. Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico, and Charlie Herman, economics and business editor for The Takeaway, and our co-producer, WNYC Radio. Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
Thank you.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.